Put me in, coach. I'm ready for the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The podcast camouflaged as a nature documentary. And now, shining example to He-Man everywhere, Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. You've been here before, and I'm hoping you had a good time. You probably did. That's probably why you came back to join us again. It's a wonderful day in the neighborhood. It is a time when, if you're thinking about Medicare, you're thinking about a process that, when completed, will improve your medical insurance, reduce your costs, and just basically slide you off into the future without a care in the world, or with at least fewer cares than you might have had otherwise. You're getting rid of that expensive Obamacare insurance, and you're moving into the world of government-supported insurance. And so far, Congress hasn't had the guts to screw it up. So it's you're going to find it to be relatively reasonably priced and relatively comprehensive coverage. And that's what we all seek, I believe. Anyway, this is all based on my book, Medicare for the Lazy Man, Simplest and Easiest Guide Ever. That comes in paperback version, in Kindle ebook version, or audio version, take your choice, at Amazon.com, as well as in paperback version at Barnes & Noble. And when I start the podcast, I always talk about that. I forgot to mention my Canadian nephew, who has just landed a new job. He used to be the host of PowerBoatTV.com television show. You have to go to that website to watch the episodes of the show. But the show came to an end after a very lengthy run. I want to say 20 years. I'm not sure. But he was the host in the last two seasons. And now Drew McMillan is going to work as the office manager for a television production company. I don't know which one because it's Canadian, but he's using his acting chops as well as his CPA chops. And he's going to put both of those things to work and supporting his lovely bride and their lovely daughter. So I'm hoping to see him in our daughter's place in Orange County, California during Thanksgiving. But I'm led to believe that because of the new job, he's not going to be as free to travel for a while as he thought he might. So might be a lonely Thanksgiving. I'm not going to have as many Canadians hanging around my daughter's house as it would have been. Now, normally at this time in the podcast, I call on Randy Carson, erstwhile engineer, software engineer, and programming engineer, knob twister, and dial turner, and slide slider. But before I do, I want to propose a question or rephrase a question that we've asked in the past. When he talks about me, sometimes he refers to me as the anti-insurance guy. And we don't often explain that, the rationale behind that definition. So I'm hoping that today Randy can tell us all what he means when he says that I am the anti-insurance guy. So Randy, can you share your thought process with us?
I'll be happy to do that, Doug.
Excellent.
When I invented that, what should we call that, byline for you?
Yeah, the descriptive phrase.
Yeah. What I really meant was that Doug is not your average insurance guy, okay? He truly has your best interests at heart. He's not out to make the biggest buck he can possibly make off of you. And that's what I meant by the anti-insurance guy, because every insurance guy that I've ever run into in my life before I met Doug Jones was just the opposite. I didn't know anything about insurance, and they sat me down at the table and said, here, sign here. Give me a check so I can, get the microcoding off of it and sign here. And Doug's just not that way. He's out looking for the best deal for you. And that's what I meant. And he's still doing that very thing today, which is the reason I invented the byline. And it's still true today, okay, as it was then.
So it's complimentary then. It's not derogatory.
Not at all.
Boy, I worry about these things sometimes and I forget, you know, my short-term memory problem. So thank you for sharing that explanation with us. And today,
you're welcome.
Today we talk about Medicare stuff again. What a shock, huh? You've come to the Medicare for the Lazy Man.
And you're going to hear about Medicare. Oh, my gosh. That's a surprise.
You're going to be hearing about it from the Lazy Man, at least one Lazy Man. Randy is more energetic than I am on the average day. But the Lazy Man, also a throwback to the past. Some people have been concerned about that as being an insult to the audience. In reality, lazy men and lazy women are people who frankly don't want to become Medicare experts. They might feel that they have to learn all about Medicare, and it's a daunting task, and it certainly is not an exciting, fun task for most people. But the lazy men and the lazy ladies who are listeners or readers are people who have decided that they have no choice but to learn about Medicare. And I'm here to help them do that in a fairly painless way. I hope it's painless and I hope it's moderately entertaining. So what I thought I'd do is what Randy loves to do best is dip into the mailbag. And the reason he likes to do that is because when he goes bar hopping in Cave Creek, Arizona, often the other patrons are looking for more mailbag items, and Randy has to take the blame for having disappointed them if I don't go to the mailbag every once in a while. So today I put on my leather falconer's glove and I reach way down into the bottom to get the older mail that's waiting for us, and I came up with a handful. So let's see how much we get done today. First one is from a woman named Deb, and she wrote, "Hi, Doug. I'm an easy listening listener." Now, I advertise this podcast and the book on Easy Listening, which is a podcast by two women that are associated with Adam Carolla. And so, you know, I'm not really big on their subject matter for the most part, but they do talk about things related to Adam Carolla. I'm a fan of his, and their price is pretty good, so I don't mind advertising. And every once in a while, somebody says, "Hey, I'm a fan of Easy Listening." So she says, "I work for the state of Nevada, and I'm 64 years old. All of our benefit paperwork says we don't have to apply for Medicare until 2 months before retirement. My best friend is convinced that is wrong and that I should be applying for Medicare right now. I thought maybe you might have some insight. Thank you very much." So I said, "Hi, Deb. The state is correct and your friend is wrong. The key here is that you are actively at work. That fact moves the enrollment deadline from your 65th birthday back to whatever date you want to retire. You won't risk a late enrollment penalty, but you will be asked to if you are covered, let's say you will be asked to submit an extra form that will attest to the fact that you are actively at work and covered by your employer's insurance plan during that time. One little hint, if you apply for Part A of Medicare when turning 65, there is no premium for those with a 10-year work history, and it will make the eventual enrollment into Part B a little bit simpler. Thanks for writing. Don't forget about me when your retirement date approaches." And she says, "Hi, Doug. Thank you so much for the quick reply. What is timing to apply for Part A? I turned 65 in January. And will Medicare reach out and ask me to attest that I'm actively working, or will it happen when I apply for Part A? I really appreciate the help." And I said, "I'm pretty sure you won't have to do anything special to enroll in Part A. You can start 3 months before January 1st. The extra form to complete should only come when you apply for Part B, because by then you would otherwise be a late enrollee." And I said, "I'm always happy to help out." So thank you to the patrons or the patronesses of Easy Listening Podcast. And thank you to Deb for writing in. So here's a kind of a multi-page bunch of correspondence from a woman named Susan. And she wrote, "Good afternoon, Mr. Jones." She is very complimentary to call me Mr. Jones right out of the box. A lot of times it's just Dougie Poo. So she says, "I am unmarried and due to retire at the end of this month after 27 years with a large Central California credit union. My choices as a retiree, my choices is to take the existing Anthem P PPO as a Medicare wraparound at $375 premium per month, which includes drug coverages, or an Anthem Medicare Advantage PPO, boo hiss, with premium of $52, including drug, vision, dental, and hearing. That sounds like there's a, oh boy, I'm trying to think of an appropriate phrase. Randy's shaking his head. He's going to get whiplash. He's saying, no, don't do it. Don't fall for it. After reading your book plus a competing book, I'm still confused and very nervous. I do appreciate how reassuring you have been within your Medicare for the Lazy Man book. I think my HR department thinks I'm an idiot for questioning the Med Advantage plan, and I think they should provide the retirees the third option of a group supplemental plan, like Plan G or Plan GHD, which he means is either Plan G of Medicare supplement or the high deductible Plan G, which Randy has dubbed the high value plan. Unfortunately, if I follow my gut and go with the supplement, I lose access to any type of retiree health benefit after devoting 27 years thinking I'd get some coverage support from my employer in retirement. I'd like to convince them to seriously investigate a third option. While it will be too late for me, I'd like to think if they agree, I've helped others. Is there a written qualified example of an initially healthy retiree comparing a good year followed by a bad year between typical Medicare Advantage PPO and a Plan G and a Plan High Deductible G with the cheapest drug plan? I need to understand when and where this Medicare Advantage PPO would fail me. Year one, 4 medically necessary office visits, 1 x-ray to rule out a bone break, 1 MRI. So she's basically spends a lot of her correspondence listing the physical maladies that she would expect or that she would like to see compared between one plan and another plan. In other words, if I had all this stuff happen to me, how much would I spend out of my pocket for a year with Medicare supplement and a drug plan versus if I took their Medicare Advantage plan? Which one would cost me the most? Which would be the worst idea? And she said, if I could identify all this stuff, I think it would help me pinpoint good questions for the credit union's broker and help me finalize my decision. I strongly suspected broker incentives associated with Medicare Advantage PPO were possibly driving the absence of the supplemental option. It will also let me evaluate whether a high deductible plan is a good plan for me. I'm in good health with an arthritic knee, and osteopenia is my biggest concern now. I'm 66 in 5 months, and I signed up already on Part A since March of 2020. So I said, thanks very much for writing. In your message, you stressed that you need to understand when and where the Medicare Advantage PPO would fail you. Well, in Chapter 9 of my current book, I list 10 ways in which a Medicare Advantage plan might possibly fail you. But there is often no guarantee that any of those things will happen. I also say that Medicare Advantage plans might just be the best plan available, at least until you need to use it. One of the things I caution people about is that Medicare Advantage plans are one-year only contracts, and that any of the things you like about that plan is subject to change at the end of each year. Sometimes those changes can come in the middle of a year, as when a contract with your favorite hospital expires and the two sides cannot agree. If you don't mind rolling the dice on new doctors, etc., then that won't be much of a disadvantage to you. On the other hand, Medicare supplement plans are much steadier and more predictable. The cost of the plan is unlikely to change very much from one year to the next, but the freedom of choice a supplement plan provides can never be taken away from you as long as you pay the premiums when due. One other thing to keep in mind, if you develop health problems in the future, you might wish to purchase a Medicare supplement for the peace of mind it can provide you, but you might have lost the option to qualify for one. On the other hand, a Medicare Advantage plan will always be available to you during the AEP in the fall of every year. AEP means annual election period. I don't know exactly where you are but in much of Central California, the richest, most comprehensive Medicare supplement plan might cost you $165 per month for a non-smoker of your age. This would expose you to an annual deductible of $203 this year, but cover all other legitimate medical bills at 100%. I would prefer to take the much less expensive high deductible Plan G and save about $130 per month. This is my favorite because it exposes you to a $2,370 deductible this year in an absolute worst case scenario. I would subtract that $130 monthly savings from the deductible, leaving me with an amount at risk of less than $1,000 in the event of a worst case year of massive medical bills. I cannot actually predict the future. All I can attempt to do is to make people in your situation aware of the possibilities, both good and bad. It can be prohibitively expensive to ensure that every negative consequence is covered. I feel pretty good as if I have successfully helped people understand the risks and prepared them for a cost-effective manner. As for drug plans, I ask my clients to fill out a short questionnaire, and then I run that information through the government website to identify the least costly of the 30 or so drug plans available in any given location. The annual cost of a drug plan includes not just the monthly premium, but also the cost sharing some plans might impose more than others. I have attached one of my questionnaires for your use if you would like me to do that for you. If you don't take any regular prescriptions now, it is still a good idea to buy the cheapest plan available in order to stave off the late enrollment penalty. That should cost you $7.20 per month in California. In order to provide you with rock-solid Medicare supplement quotes, I would have to know exactly where you live. Please let me know your address if you would like me to provide that information for you, and I will be happy to answer any of your questions to the best of my ability. Thanks again for contacting me. Well, she never did recontact me. I think what happened was the the broker that services the plan at her employer probably talked her into going with his plan. As she mentioned, it has a pretty big commission. She referred to that as an incentive, but I'm pretty sure he worked really hard to make sure that she went with his offering of a Medicare Advantage plan. So how are we doing time-wise, Randy? I can't tell. I put my watch up on the thing and then forgot to look at it.
We have 2 minutes and 29 seconds left, but I wanted to pose, you know, I guess it's not a question, just a comment. I think the lady that we were just discussing should have asked her broker if he had ever met Joe Namath.
I don't think he would have wanted to admit to that because, frankly, Joe Namath is shilling for another broker. Namath is not, he tries to make it sound like he represents the government. And
That's true. Yeah, call this number and you'll get a hold of somebody that really cares about you down in Poughkeepsie, New Jersey. Yeah. I've never met them. I don't know who they are, but boy, do I believe in their product.
Absolutely. The government wants you to be happy and wants you to be fulfilled. So call this number. So that
have
the
you had a free lunch? Free lunch lately? I'll come get you.
Yeah, in my little prison bus. So, and now Jimmy J.J. Walker joining him in shilling for some Medicare agency someplace. But all they sell is Medicare supplement plans. So
did I ask you? I had a question for you. What's the one similarity? There may be others, but what's the one similarity between Jimmy J.J. Walker and who?
Yes. And Joe Namath.
Yeah. What's their similarity?
Well, the one I've noticed is the fact that they both wave their arms around like maniacs.
Well, that may be true, but the actual similarity that I thought of, Doug, was neither of them know anything about insurance. Okay.
Right. And I don't think either of them care, but if you look in their shirt pocket, you'll see the
quarter
of their checks sticking out.
That's right. That's right.
It'd be fun if we could count the zeros on the check that if they fold it carelessly, we might be able to see how much it's for.
That's the pure definition of how deep your pockets are, because the deeper the pocket, the less zeros that show.
Yes, that's right. That's right. But in any event, all we can do is keep fighting the good fight and hope that we can overcome their multiple appearances every day. We're only on once a day. You would think that we'd get trampled, but no.
I know.
We're holding our own. 2,407 books went out the door the other day. So that's an indicator that they are not owning the territory that we're fighting on.
However, you know what it is an indicator of?
What is that?
I need to ramp up my TV surveillance.
Yes. Well,
there's going to be more Medicare Advantage people prowling around my neighborhood.
I'm sure people are lined up auditioning to replace Joe Namath. You know, they're just waiting for him to croak.
Yeah, well, I don't know. How old is Joe Namath nowadays?
He's older than I am, so he's got to be in his mid to late 70s. I think he's in his late 70s.
Okay, well, he's going to be peddling worthless insurance for a while.
Yeah, but the people who pay him must be satisfied because he's been on for a couple of years now.
Yeah, I know. It's too bad. Well, I better pull in the stops here. We are out of time. We are out of gas and we are coming in for a landing. But there's a couple things, right, Doug, we need to talk about?
Absolutely. We love talking about these things because when people avail themselves of these things we talk about, they're always satisfied. So, and you do such a good job of talking about them. I'll leave it in your capable hands.
We need to go to Amazon.com. We need to pull out your credit card and order up several of Doug's books or several of his audio versions or several of his Kindle versions. But if you really want that special version for Christmas giving or holiday giving or Hanukkah or whatever version you want, they've got a color version over at Barnes and Noble. So that really would be a nice holiday gift for anybody.
And so, they fit so nicely in the stockings that are hung from the chimney with care.
I know. They really do. I can't keep them in stock. Doug only lets me have one a year. So, you know, every time I get one, I'm always talking to one of my relatives and I go, what about that book that Doug Jones wrote? And I said, well, I've got one. They go, can I borrow it to read? And guess what?
You never see it again.
I never see it again. Never. Boy.
Well, I see them on email, eBay all the time. So it may be that they're selling them once they've used them.
They're making a profit. They're making a profit on eBay. So anyway, we need to thank the audience for joining us. We always appreciate it. You've been a very good audience. You haven't caused any ruckus. You haven't caused any noise that we had to edit out. You've been a really good bunch of people, and we thank you for joining us because it wouldn't be any fun without you. And we're looking forward to seeing you next time because today you have spent just about 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy. And as I said last week, the world record holder for downloads of Kindle books from Amazon.com.
You got that right, buddy. All right. See you soon, ladies and gentlemen.